Blog Talk Radio.
What's up? Good evening. This is Scott First coming at you with the Clown Hour. This is sponsored by particularly no one. Sorry about that. I was expecting my intro music to come in, but didn't have it for me, but that's okay. But at any rate, I'm Scott First, the creator of the Clown Times sports blog. You can find me on the web. Just do a tap in window, www.theclowntimes.net. That's Clown spelled with a K, by the way. And you can find me on Facebook as well. Just do a search for the Clown Times. Again, it's Clown spelled with a K, and you'll be able to find me. This is going to be an interesting podcast tonight, one that may become particularly uncomfortable for all parties involved. For those of you who do not know, Tony Dungy made some remarks concerning Michael Sam and, you know, whether he would have drafted him or not. And I plan to just actually have this discussion with two of my main guys, Chris Lupe and from the Yard / HBCU Sports, Dwayne Nash. But at any rate, until they're able to join, I just get started. But basically, you know, a lot of people have been coming after Tony Dungy for his comments they made concerning Michael Sam. He actually made these comments to the Tampa Tribune when asked if he would have drafted Michael Sam. And this is Tony Dungy's quote: "I wouldn't want to deal with all of it. Not going to be totally smooth. Things will happen." And by things will happen, he meant that things like such as distractions and, you know, drama going on in the locker room over the young brother's sexuality and whatnot. Well, I have two things to say. First of all, totally disagree with what Mr. Dungy had to say. Tony Dungy is a man I respect and high regard, but I don't agree with him there. And luckily, we have Dwayne Nash on the phone, so he's going to ask his perspective, as does I continue my thoughts. So, Dwayne, welcome to the Clown Hour. What's up, man?
Man, Scott, I had the hardest time getting on to the Clown Hour. I don't know how to explain it, but everything is fine, man. I'm doing quite all right.
Cool.
How about yourself?
Oh, I'm chill like a villain, and Chris LePage joining us as well. So, Chris, what's up, brother?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. Hey, I think it may be a harbinger of things to come, because I couldn't get my starter music to come up. You know, I was going to drop the insomnia on everyone, but at any rate, you know, I had, like, after a few seconds of dead air, I was like, I better say some shit now. So, otherwise, I thought we had some dead air. But anyway, I was just getting to the meat of my discussion, you know, regarding Tony Dungy's comments on Michael Sam. I was going to open the monologue by saying that while I did not agree with what Tony Dungy had to say with the comments, what bothers me is that a lot of folks out there tend to vilify a person just because he or she has an opinion. Now, there's one thing if the opinion is meant to denigrate or hurt the individual. There's another if you're just answering the question. And so this is a two-pronged, I guess, this is pretty much a two-pronged podcast, if you will. One, just talking about his comments on Michael Sam just as a whole. And secondly, just the backlash that something that, even though it's something that I and many people disagree with, that it, to me, did not warrant the backlash that it's created towards Tony Dungy. So, Dwayne, since you're the first to call in, let me just get your perspective on Tony Dungy, what he had to say about Michael Sam and why he wouldn't draft him.
Well, the one thing that I do have to say is that basically Tony Dungy, in my personal opinion, said the same thing that, for the most part, all 32 GMs have been thinking, that
yeah.
by drafting Michael Sam to your organization, or even picking him as an undrafted free agent, some things were going to happen. Now, I guess we already found out that the interview was done right before the draft, and I think right before the news was released that he was going to be doing the television show, or was it released after he did the announcement was
after.
Made about the TV show? It was released after?
Yes.
Yeah. So, right. I mean, you have to think about it like this, and I guess if you're extremely familiar with the situation with the OWN network, that this deal
yeah.
was made before gaining permission from whatever team he was going to be drafted by, in this case,
right.
the St. Louis Rams. So that's basically an issue. And if you look at it from the perspective of the organization, just imagine HBO doing a Hard Knocks on a team without their permission.
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
that's something. And then you have to take into consideration that even if it is by permission, not only will those cameras be there asking, well, recording and documenting everything that's happening, but the media that's already going to be there, actually the additional media that's going to be there because of the fact that you have a now known homosexual playing for this particular team and the type of pressure it may bring to your camp, especially to those that are trying to make an NFL roster for the very first time. So to say that
mm-hmm.
Tony Dungy was wrong for saying that things would happen, he never really necessarily alluded to what type of things that would be. I mean, I guess you can take away from the fact that he was alluding to the type of attention that will be brought with the beginning of a television show during your camp, but and that's what I'm agreeing
yeah.
with. So those are that's a thing that can happen. I mean, there are other things that can happen as well, but the first thing I thought of when he said things could happen is the unnecessary attention or the media circus that comes with Michael Sam.
Right, and that's what I was getting at, too. I mean, that's what many people do not understand, what Tony Dungy meant by those things. I mean, for those folks who think that the media is going to treat this with kid gloves, are you serious? I mean, they're just naive as hell, beyond naive. I mean, they're just naive. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that if the media circus came about from Tim Tebow, a devout Christian, good guy but couldn't throw with a damn, and Johnny Manziel, who balled out at A&M, but he tends to have more, I hate to say this, more brother to him than people realize. I mean, what would you have a gay guy, an openly gay young brother? You know, if it's not going to be ESPN and those other folks, you know, people like Out Magazine and a lot of the LGBT media outlets are going to be all over the Rams like stank on poop, asking questions, after question to his teammates about how does it feel to be a gay player? To play with a gay player, rather. How does it feel to, you know, do you feel comfortable in a locker room? I mean, shit like that is going to become old overnight. And I think that people need to realize that and think that just because his teammates may not have a problem with it, and I don't think it will be a big problem on his teammates, to be honest with you, if the media would carry this on over and over and over and over again to the point where it becomes nauseating to his teammates, and it can't help but act out in that area. But Chris Lupe, let me get your thoughts, brother, before I really go off.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would start off by saying that, you know, when I heard all of this come up before Tony Dungy had the opportunity to respond again, I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. Because he's his reputation, his character stands on its own. So it's kind of like
right.
we need to see, you know, what he said in context. And after seeing his response to, you know, the media circus that came up, and finding out when the comments were made and how they were taken out of context. And oh,
mm-hmm.
by the way, you know, these comments were made months ago. And
mm-hmm.
they just took snippets of them and used them now. It's almost like it's proving his point, okay, which is, you know, he was making a comment that, hey, I would not have drafted him, not because of, you know, his sexual orientation or even his playing ability, but because of the media circus. It's playing out now. Right. Exactly the reason why he said he wouldn't have made the choice. It's playing out now. It's unwanted attention when you, especially now when you're trying to get a team of you got 90 players who are trying to make a team. Okay, most of those are not guaranteed to make it. The rest, they have to play their way into a roster of 53. You want them concentrating on football. You want your coaches concentrating on evaluating the players. You want your whole organization focused on getting the best team possible on the field. You want all of your players from round one to round seven to concentrate on doing the best that they can to make the team, whether it be, the particular team that drafted Michael Sam or the practice squad or whatever. You want them focused on that. And what he said is exactly true. You know, hey, this is going to – I wouldn't have done it because I don't want the attention, because he wants his team focused on playing football. So that could go back to just like was said, Tim Tebow was, you know, he got a lot of attention. You know, do you want this type of attention or not? Yes or no. If you want the type of – if you don't want it, don't draft them. Johnny Manziel,
right.
You know, if you don't want the attention, don't draft them because they bring attention. So what he said was exactly true, and it was his opinion. He didn't have it. What he said wasn't offensive. Wasn't meant to be offensive until it was misconstrued that way, which is exactly what the media did. You know, hey, we need something to talk about. Inject this into the sports world, because right now there really wasn't anything to talk about because the teams hadn't even reported to the training camp yet. So before training camp starts, now you've got a distraction that Jeff Fisher has to respond to. Michael Sam has to respond to it. So this is the very reason why Tony Dungy said he wouldn't have made the decision. So people who get upset before they know the context, know the context and don't react. And to those that had questions about what he said, you know, what Tony Dungy said, look at exactly what the discussion points are now. It was all over ESPN radio this morning and yesterday morning, you know, and training camp hadn't even started, you know, really well yet. So this is the reason, you know. So just, you know, hold your horses. Don't get ready. Don't throw stones. See what happened. You know, look and see why a person said what they said and what snippets. Why the snippets that were chosen before you make a judgment.
And that's what folks get burnt over. I mean, it's like, and I hadn't seen it once. I've seen it 1,000 times. And I include myself in this. I've been duped by shit.
We all get sucked in.
It's like you hear.
We all get sucked in.
Yeah, exactly. It sells ratings. You know, it's like whether it's political, sports, you name it. Every outlet, MSNBC, I love them, but they're guilty of this as much as Fox News. They take out snippets of different politicians, like whether they're a lightning rod or not, and just throw them together and make them appear different to what they were meant to be. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's like, and I think this may be the case, Tony Dungy's case, but before I go further than that, I don't want folks to... And not that I give a damn what people think about me and what I think, but y'all know me better than that, but at any rate, I don't want people to assume that I agree with everything Mr. Dungy said. As I said earlier in the monologue, I did not agree with him. I thought it was a bit hypocritical seeing that he supported Michael Vick, which we could get into later on if you want. You know, if he supported one lightning rod, and granted, you know, and let's be honest here, not many black people like dogs as much as white folks do. But still, I mean, the thing is that he did his time for killing dogs, for having dogs in dog fighting rings, which I think, in my opinion, is more controversial than having a gay dude trying to make a team. But, you know, be that as it may, I'm not going to rip Tony Dungy for his opinion. I'm not going to call him to be fired like other cats are doing out there, liberal, like extreme liberal folks or what have you, members of the LGBT community are doing. You know, just because someone thinks differently than you, if they're not out to hurt you, if they're just giving their honest opinion, then let it be. I mean, you know, it's, I mean, if you disagree, that's fine. There's no wrong with disagreeing. I mean, hell, boy, how boring would this country be if everyone agreed on something, right? And, you know, and plus it says, I hate to bring this up, it says in the Bible, iron sharpens iron. You know, we tend to learn from each other. And hopefully, you know, if one educates the other or what have you. But, you know, I don't think that it's our right, especially if people out there are preaching tolerance. If folks out there are to be tolerant towards LGBT, which, again, I don't have a problem with the LGBT community. I support gay rights. I think as a black dude in America, I think it would be hypocritical for me to go out against gay rights and gay issues. However, I'm not going to vilify Dungy or anyone else who just gives an honest opinion on it, whether in Dungy's case he thinks it would be a distraction because of maybe, you know, because of media coverage or Oprah Winfrey wanting to host a reality show starring Martha Stan before he even makes the roster at the St. Louis Rams, you know, or the people who, even though they, you know, if they tend to hide behind religious reasons, I mean, that's fine. If they're not, you know, or if their folks are just uncomfortable with the period. I mean, I'm not comfortable with doing many things. I mean, I'm not comfortable going to a biker bar full of, like, if there are no black folks in there. I mean, does that make me racist? No. It makes me concerned with my safety because a lot of bikers can beat the hell out of people, right? If you look at them wrong, you know? I mean, as much as I support gay rights, you wouldn't find me in a gay bar. Does that make me homophobic? No. It's just my own sensibility. And I think that people need to understand that. And I think people are missing that point. But at any rate, but the thing is that what really gets my goat is, and I know I'm talking too much here, but what gets my goat is that a lot of our, particularly our white liberal friends out there, tend to equate this to race. As you know, I saw someone on Facebook mention that, well, they said the same thing about things that happened. What they said about Jackie Robinson, what they said that about, what was another black trailblazer, like Gabby, I forgot his first name, who
integrated the American League. Out there.
Yeah, right, and so on and so forth, you know, or if we're going to go to the 70s, like in the NFL when, James Harris started for the Rams, you know, he became one of the first successful black quarterbacks in the modern NFL era. What have they said about him? I mean, that really...
Well, the thing is, Scott, they may have.
Go ahead.
That's the thing. People may have said those things. Yeah, it's going to cause too much of a distraction. That's a natural question. That's a natural statement to make. When you're dealing with lightning rod issues. You know, that's a logical question. And what's wrong with asking that question? And again, like the examples I used, you know, and it was said about Tim Tebow, you know, hey, it's going to cause a distraction. You know, so the Jets picked them up because they were full of distraction. That's, you know, the way that team rolled. That's just the way things work. If you think about how the New England Patriots, they picked up some players that were lightning rods and they handled it differently. But they don't like a lot of attention, so they control it differently. You know, when they picked up Randy Moss, when they picked up Corey Dillon, they dealt with players that were lightning rods, you know, from where they came from, and they dealt with them differently. But, you know, it's the question that Tony Dungy raised had nothing to do with it was not a social statement, in my opinion. It was a football statement.
Yeah, right.
Had nothing to do with, you know, I don't necessarily feel comfortable with the way that, you know, it's come up about, you know, the young man's sexuality or race or anything. It was not a political statement. But then again, the country we live in wants to politicize everything. You know, it was a statement, which is what he made. I'm sure there are lots of other players that, what was the one that wasn't he a Ram for a while who beat his girlfriend and then didn't stick around for a long time? But It was the same thing was Lawrence said about
Phillips.
Him. I can't remember
Lawrence
his name.
Phillips.
That's
yeah, Lawrence that Phillips. Yeah.
Okay. He was a lightning rod. You know, people passed on him, you know, because oh, he's going to be distraction, he's this, he's that, you know, until a team picked him up and tested them out, you know, we're willing to take that chance. That's sports. You know, that's the, you know, that's how sports teams think. So, unless I'm missing something, I'm finding a hard time. I don't see anything wrong with what he said because of the football, because it sounded like it was a football discussion, not a discussion on the mores of society.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dwayne.
That's all right. But to go back to a point that we kind of stated earlier, you're absolutely correct. There was nothing going on in sports at all. If you look at it that Monday, the only other sports event that was going on, to my recollection, was the SIAC media football day. That was it. No baseball
mm-hmm.
games. Football wasn't in camp. No one was really talking about NBA trades or anything. No moves were being made. Nothing. So it was a perfect time for the media to go ahead and take a statement, spin it to whatever their agenda is, and make it a story. Now, in terms of it being, of course, what it was, a football decision, if you look at Tony Dungy's teams and the organizations that he's played for, even in Tampa, he had quote-unquote characters, but it wasn't anyone that was necessarily a disruption when you talk about maybe
mm-hmm.
a Keyshawn Johnson or maybe even a Warren Sapp. You know, those guys were football guys, and they basically focused on that when it came time to play ball. Even when he supported Michael Vick, it wasn't a support to say that, you know, I would have him in my organization, because he never really said that. He just basically said that being an older African-American that has played in the league, and with everyone turning their back and basically attempting to blackball this guy, I am going to come in and be a mentor to him. Even with the Marvin Harrison situation. I don't think he was brought back when that situation happened, but he was still supportive of him. Once again, he supports him, but doesn't mean that he's going to have him in his organization. Now, there are other organizations, like you said earlier, that can either attempt to or can handle media circuses very well. And, of course, the New England Patriots are that type of organization. It's yet to be said whether or not the St. Louis Rams can. I just thought that this entire drafting of Michael Sam, from my perspective, just seemed like a great media-saving deal for the NFL, especially for Jeff Fisher, who holds an office. You know, because what is he? He's like the director of football operations or something to that magnitude with the league.
And he also is the chair of the – I think he's the chair of the competition committee. I could be wrong.
That's right.
He's
the chair of the competitions committee. That's exactly what it is. And I'm thinking that's a great PR move when you have someone that's in the front office or has a relationship with the front office to draft this guy. Because, I mean, basically he was two picks away from being an undrafted free agent, which, you know, is not to say that – the media circus wouldn't have come with him if he was undrafted. I just thought that it was a PR move for the league to draft, to have this guy drafted. Excuse me.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry, go ahead. Was that Chris?
No, I'm done. You go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. I was going to say, for those who have short memories, and I'm sure your brothers know what I'm about to get at, all they had to do was take a look at his combine times, his combine results.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the NFL Combine, he ran amongst linebackers, such himself, ran the slowest 40 times, didn't do all that well in the shuttle drills. And so basically, coming into the combine, he was already projected to be a mid-round draft pick, like a third or fourth round draft pick, because of his size.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that he's a scrawny dude. Obviously, I mean, dude is Jack. He could whoop my ass and bitch press my house at the same time. But as far as a defensive end is concerned, he was undersized. He's like 6'1", I think. And, you know, since he's a pass rusher specialist, Those guys tend to be around 6'3", 6'4"-ish, and they have to be nimble enough to drop back to drop into coverage if needed. Sam would have been asked to drop a lot into coverage, and shoulder times really tell coaches how well a person is. See, a lot of people don't understand what cone drills are. They measure agility. They don't measure speed. They measure agility. So, if I had a piss poor shuttle time, that means I'm not a natural brother, you know. So I can't be used in many facets as, say, like a person with more agility could be used, right? So unfortunately, Michael Sam, his shuttle time wasn't great, which meant that since he would be asked to be dropped in the coverage, to drop in the coverage as an undersized defensive end or outside linebacker, chances are he may not be able to do but so well the first two times around. And coaches and the NFL is a win now business. What have you done for me lately type business. Coaches and GMs cannot afford to be but so close to that. And if you look at where Sam was drafted, sure, it was a good start. He was drafted by the Rams. And granted, Coach Fisher is a no-nonsense kind of guy. So if anyone were to think of giving Michael Sam trouble in the locker room, chances are that would be squashed by Fisher alone. So I have no doubt about that. The fact of the matter is, if you look at the team, their defense is hella fine. I mean, hell, they go at least two deep on the in the front seven. So that means that Michael Sam, his odds of making the team are slim as it is, because he's drafted to a defense by a team whose defense is stacked. So the question remains: okay, with all this discussion by the media. And I hate the word distraction. I'm just going to say hoopla. But the hoopla that brought out from the media was ESPN, like I said, the LGBT community, media such as Out Magazine or others such as that. Is it really worth it for a third-round draft pick who may not even make the damn team? I think that's what Tony Dungy was getting at. And I don't think many people understand that. They just saw it, and they wanted to read it as homophobic comment. And relevant, but as I said before, I know I said it twice already, and I'm sorry for sounding like a broken record, fellas. I do not agree with what Dungy said. I don't think it would be a distraction as far as the team goes. I think the team will handle it. I see where Tony Dungy's coming from. I do not think it's as big a deal as I think other folks would believe it. But the thing is that I don't think we should vilify Tony Dungy for having an honest opinion on something that could potentially be a politics.
Not at all. To go back to your point in terms of how deep that front seven is, which, once again, it goes back to my whole theory of it being a PR move for the NFL. They already knew that. They knew that. It's a possibility that, you know, he may get onto the team and end up being, you know, a special teams guy. But if and when this dude gets cut, you know, they can be like, well, you know, we had a lot of talent at that position. You know, we're very deep at that spot. It was going to be very difficult for him to go not to make the team. So he wasn't able to make the team. So we did what we could. You know, hopefully he latches on someplace else, which kind of saves face for the league by saying that, you know, we at least gave him an opportunity, even though it's an opportunity where he may not potentially win. Now, to your combine situation, and I have mixed emotions about the combine. Like every other red-blooded football fan, I love the combine, have loved it ever since the very first time I started watching NFL Network some 5-6 years ago. Every time it comes on, I always watch. But, you know, you get mixed reactions when you talk about the combine. Some people say you need to do the combine. Some people say you don't necessarily need to do the combine because tape don't lie. Now, if your tape is good and your combine is bad, they'll say, you know what, we'll go ahead and see your workout. Now, if your combine bad and your workout bad, they'll look at the tape and they'll look at what you did with whatever bowls you were in, be it a postseason bowl game, senior bowl games, whatever. Now, if this is some sort of contradiction, now you still may get drafted, which is what happened in Sam's case. But when people rely on the fact that Michael Sam's combine was bad, and that was, is what potentially left them to go undrafted almost, it is a mixed. I have a mixed emotions about that because of the things that people say when they talk about combine. Because when you look at this guy's tape, for the most part, he had some phenomenal games in the SEC, but there were still games in which he struggled against some of the better old linemen in that conference. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that whole combine excuse, use that against somebody that don't know or don't pay attention to what it is that you pundits even say, that, you know, they don't necessarily need to see you at the combine because you have your pro day. They just basically contradict themselves when they talk about the combine. You know, but still, with this whole thing of Tony Dungy and his reputation, I think that's what made it so much easier for it to become news, because he has such a squeaky clean reputation. And for him to have this thing spun out against him, you're absolutely right. When you talk about tolerance here, how many people who complain about people not having tolerance to have more tolerance themselves?
Exactly. I mean, just go to Facebook and Twitter. That's a trivial idea. Absolutely zero. How about that? I mean, we're in an opinion vilifying era here, so go ahead.
Actually, from the very beginning, now, the thing is that I watched the combine, you know, I understand how all this stuff works. And I'll say that, you know, from the very beginning, you know, I like to see the underdog succeed. And, you know, I agree that, you know, this was, it could have been a PR move by the league to pick him up as late as they did, because they can't say, well, we didn't draft him, you know, because what's that going to do to our reputation? I can see them saying that.
I also
hope that now that he's, you know, got a uniform and he's out there playing, that, you know, you got the opportunity that a lot of guys don't have. You know, there are a lot of guys who probably have better times in the shuttle than 40 who play his position, who they won't get the opportunity to play, to even try out for a team. So he's got the opportunity. So I hope he does well, you know.
Right, me too.
Okay, I've been pulling for him the whole time. You know, I do think that, you know, in certain respects, the stacks, you know, the deck is stacked against him because of some things you guys just mentioned. You know, he's on a team that's got a really good defense that's already stacked. You know, if they're not able to figure out places to put him, they're not going to be able to keep him on because it's going to eventually come down to money and finances.
Right.
If they don't have, you know, what it takes to just to take him on and him to make an impact, they're going to cut him anyway. You know, but the thing is, I hope he plays his butt off. You know, I hope he, you know, has to take this opportunity to even interview for other teams because they're going to be watching his tape. Who knows?
Yeah.
If the Rams don't pick him up, you know, maybe another team will, you know, or even put him on a practice squad in there and develop him. But the thing is, he got the opportunity. No matter how he got it, no matter what the circumstances were, he's got the opportunity. So hope he does well. And I'm sure, you know, going back to our original statements, our original reason for being here, I'm sure that Tony and Dungy would say the same thing. You know, why did he, you know, he went in the seventh round, you know, that's a fact. You know, probably for some of this, the football reasons, you know, hey, well, he's, you know, got a slow shuttle time, he's not going to be agile enough to drop back into coverage, he might be too short. But again, there are a lot of guys who are in the NFL, have been in the NFL, who quote unquote were too short, and who, you know, made a name for themselves and made it to the Hall of Fame. Okay, that, you know, being too short thing shouldn't make a difference. You know, when I was believe it or not, I wanted to go out for my football team in high school, and the coach who was shorter than me told me I was too short. You know,
wow,
I was I was a senior, so it really didn't make a difference. But that's what he told me. I was too short. How many guys in the NFL hear that? You know, Drew Brees, didn't he hear that? Too short. Russell Wilson,
that's
too short. Too short. Okay. So that's really not a reason. So, you know, for all the people that say Michael Sam was too short to play his position, let's see what he can do. You know, and the thing is, again, how many sports have we seen already that there were, you know, gay players who didn't come out until after they played? You know, it didn't make a difference in the locker room. You know, when I think our society, especially guys, are, you know, they grew up differently than some of us old heads. They're more open to some of these things than we are. You know, so just them deal with it in their locker room. And they've got, you know, especially the Rams, I think they've got some good leadership. Let them deal with it, you know. But the thing is, you know, we heard that, you know, when he was at University of Missouri, all his teammates knew. You know, it was just the media that didn't know, okay? As long as the media didn't know, you notice how things are fine when the media doesn't know. It's just when the media finds out, all of a sudden everything gets blown out of proportion. They knew it the whole season. You know, they were fine with him. Yeah. That's the way it should be. You know, you judge an individual by who they are, you know, not by, you know, and you pick what it is, you know, race, religion, sexual orientation, how long their arms are, whatever you want to pick. You know, you don't judge a person by their physical characteristic. You judge them by who they are. And the thing is, in order to be a football player and to take the punishment and dish the punishment that they do, you have to have heart. Okay, so maybe at University of Missouri, they knew that the man had heart. Okay, they didn't care what he did outside the locker room. They knew the man had heart. When he got on the football field, they were able to function as a unit. Let's see if that can play out here in the NFL on the next level. You know, hopefully it can. You know, if it doesn't, you know, there are a lot of players that played and it didn't work out, you know, or attempted to play and it didn't work out. You know, but if it works out for him, you know, good. And it'll be a really good story. You know, be a really good story.
Yeah, and that's the thing for us. I mean, like I said before, I'm pulling for the young brother. I think his motor will carry him through as far as he could get. And to your point earlier, Chris, even if he gets cut like late in camp, other teams will have tape on this young man. They already know what he did in college, and only the best, you know, college football conference in the country, that, you know, hell, if he was the co-defensive player of the year in the SEC of all conferences, then the brother can play. It's a matter of finding a place for him. I mean, there are plenty teams that are linebacker, D-line star, you know, as far as personnel goes. I mean, the Rams are fortunate to be deep. I mean, there are plenty of teams that could use a young brother. So either way, I think Sam has a future in this league, and I think, you know, and I think, contrary to what many people believe, I think Tony Dungy would applaud Sam if he makes the final roster, whether it be the Rams or any other squad. I think he'll applaud him. I think he'll come out on NBC, on NBC Sunday Night Football, and say as much. I think people need to understand that. Just because Tony Dungy expressed some trepidation in some areas, even though, like I said again, I don't think it would be a bigger deal as many people make it out to be. It's not media-driven. You know, this doesn't mean that he should be vilified for having those opinions. And I guarantee you that he'll pull for him, though.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest misconception in this entire situation, is the fact that Tony Dungy believes that, or people are thinking that Tony Dungy believes that Michael Sam does not have a place in the league. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that I wouldn't select him because of the things that come along with handling him. Now, if there's an organization that can handle it, so be it. As for whatever organization that I will be a part of, if I'm a head coach, I don't think that wherever I am would be the best place for him.
Right. Exactly.
That's his opinion. He should be allowed to have his opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even if it's hypocritical, even if it's because he helped Michael Vick. But again, like I said, I'm not going to vilify him. I just wish that people could agree to disagree and just keep it moving. That's all I ask. That's all I ask of people. But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah. So, Hey, guys, thanks again for joining me, man. You guys made this discussion greater than what I could have done on my own, as usual. So once again, thanks a lot for coming through, fellas. And hopefully we'll talk about something, and actually not hopefully, but we will talk about something that is not as uncomfortable as this in the future. I'm pretty sure.
No,
that, so.
Not uncomfortable at all.
So,
I was a football player, get cut all the time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's all good, though. All right, take good luck,
yeah.
Fellas.
Oh, you do the same, Scott.
All right, Chris. Dwayne.
All right.
Those are my guys holding it down again. Taking a potentially uncomfortable subject such as this, and to their point, not being uncomfortable at all. I was unsure how to approach this. I mean, because it's a very sensitive issue. It's a very sensitive subject. But I just think that in the age, in this day and age where tolerance is the word of the day, I think that as we should be tolerant of folks who are different than us, i.e. LGBTs, different racial backgrounds, religious backgrounds, that we should be tolerant of those who express discomfort around certain people. And like I said, just because someone's outside of comfort and sensibility zone, if you will, doesn't mean that they're evil, inherently evil. So I just hope that people take this to heart about just because, like I said, Tony Dungy, we said about Michael Sam's comments, even though I disagree with him, even though most people disagree with him, that's not necessarily mean that we should vilify the man for having an honest opinion. But I'm sure we're going to be talking about this until the cows come home. But once again, thank you for at least tuning in to our little session and hearing what we had to say. So again, Scott Burke with the Clown Hour. Have a good night, everyone. Excuse me, not just fellas. 06, peace out. Take care.